I thank the Lord Almighty for this special opportunity in my life to be with you this morning. As I came this morning, I remembered the length of time I know this assembly. Since 1998, off and on I have opportunity to visit you all. All the time I visit here, the assembly is always a small assembly, but at the very same time, with a great ministry. So I really appreciate the work of the Lord here through you all. And I thank the Lord again that He gave me a time this morning to read from the Word of God and understand what the Lord has for us. I was totally amazed to know that I have the opportunity to share from the Word of God this morning. Now, it is impossible. You have to call ahead weeks and months and find a slot, and then many times you are able to come only for evening meetings. I told I'm coming to visit here, and I contacted close friends of mine and schedule didn't fit together for us to meet any other time. So I said, okay, I'll come to the assembly to David so that this way I can be there and worship the Lord and meet you. Then I can drive back to Grand Rapids. Before I know the news came, Danny wanted me to speak, and David also wanted me to speak, so I am here. So it is the plan of the Lord. It is not the plan of man, because there is no way this can happen. You know, it is a great blessing in my life to grow up in a Christian home. The last 7 years, one of the ministries we were involved was helping our parents, as God wants us to do. You know, children and grandchildren are responsible to their parents in their old age. When they became weak and when they are in need. So last 7 years, 2011 November through 2018 December, we have been involved in that ministry along with traveling to different parts of India and traveling to different parts of the world to share from the Word and encourage, especially in India, to encourage the servants of the Lord as they are ministering in remote areas. Many saints from my home state have migrated themselves to different parts of India. Language is different, culture is different, conditions are totally primitive, and educational facility, hospital facility is very far away. Knowing that, they have placed themselves and also in a different language. But God has honored their labor, but at the very same time, they need an encouragement from the servants of the Lord. I found that out myself in late 90s, so I started the itinerant ministry. Now, I'm also extending that ministry to Sri Lanka and other places as the Lord opened the door. So our ministry is supporting the evangelist, visiting them. And by the way, I am not a person known as a speaker. Therefore, I never get an invitation to any meetings like, you know, the well-known speakers. I call an evangelist, I find out the name of an evangelist, and I call that person and say, my name is George Varghese. I'm living in Trivandrum, and I like to visit you. And many times they think, you know, why he wanted to visit me, because nobody knows who I am. I said, you know, I'm coming through that way, so I thought of visiting you and maybe staying 1 or 2 days. So is there anything I can help? was then some, you know, if you are interested in house visit, you can help. Then how many people do you like to come with me? Or maybe one or two people. So I invite other people. So we go as a team to that place and stay there and eat whatever the food available and stay in their home. I don't stay in a hotel or a motel. Stay in their home and use whatever the facility they have and go with that person to do that house visiting, sharing the gospel. And sometimes teaching from the word. So whatever is the ministry is needed there, as that brother find is needed in the community. That is what we are. So we are not taking a program packet and saying, you know, these five things you do and your church will be growing. I don't know how to do that. So I never do that. So that is why. But at the very same time, as I said, the Lord blessed me to grow in a Christian home. My grandparents knew the Lord. My parents knew the Lord. I married a Christian girl, so she knows the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, all my four children and their spouses and my grandchildren are also now know the Lord. My grandchildren, this time I am here to witness the graduation of my two grandchildren from high school, and also help my two grandchildren to start the schooling in the United States. Two of my grandchildren, one grandson is going to Grand Valley State University, and another one is going to study here on 11th grade in high school, as a junior in high school. So we are here few more, 2-3 months with those two boys and help them to settle in the apartment and get started their education. Then we will return to India and other parts of the world through the ministry. So, as a result of growing up and raising children, I began to see the great value of the influence of the parents. I remember my mother had always a severe pain in her body. And she herself was a nurse said in a hospital. Therefore, you know, they kind of familiar with the medicines. And my mom treated so many medications, but nothing helped her. She went to different stream of medicines also, but also that. So the pain always she had was with her all the time. So she wakes up 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock like that. And so she began to pray. And eventually, that prayer has blessed my children to study well and come to know the Lord. So now my wife and I are praying for our grandchildren, because God wants us to teach your children and your grandchildren. So ministry extends for generations. And also, other aspect of this ministry is harmoniously living together. You know, in the United States, as a new generation of this time, do not have much struggle because you live with your spouse and your children as they are there. As they get older, age of 16, 17, 18, 20, like that, they'll be moving away from the home. So you do not know the difficulty of caring for an older generation and being under them. But that is something as a common in our home country in the previous generation, not this time. But at the very same time, we have taken the commitment to help our father and mother, not because of the culture, but because of the clear teaching from the scripture. It is the responsibility of the children and grandchildren to care for the parents in their older age. So last 7 years we have done that. You know, Cobra and mongoose. Do you know what is cobra and mongoose? Do you ever see them living together happily, joyfully, friendly? You never see them. If the moment they see what happens, the cobra try to kill the mongoose and mongoose try to catch the cobra. So they run and the mongoose run around, cobra will turn around, always ready to fight. And finally, many times mongoose will win, cobra don't win. But you know, at the very same time, when we read through the scriptures, we read like this: lion and the bull eat the grass, hay, and live together. A child will play with the serpent, and the leopard and lamb walk together. What is that time? That is the time our Lord is on the throne and ruling the earth. So the power of sin is under chain. Sin is not gone at all, but the power of the sin is under the chain. And therefore, these animals also have a harmonious life. They are no longer trying to eat one another or attack one another. So, under the leadership of the Lord God Jesus Christ on the throne, the whole nature is changed to something like Garden of Eden before the fall. Therefore, what I am saying is, when we commit ourselves in the hand of God to control our life and accept our responsibility, we are able to do that is something find it difficult to do. Purely speaking, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law never go in harmony. There are so many simple, practical issues are there. And therefore, kitchen is a war place. But you know, but when you realize what is your responsibility, God has invested in you, and then you are able to build a generation who will understand the mind of God and the work of God for His people. When I was here last time, I spoke about Ruth and Naomi, how they were harmonious. So I'm not going to speak the same message today, but I'm going to speak same book, but a different aspect of that ministry, of their harmony, of their life. In chapter 4 of book of Ruth, verse 11, verse 14, and verse 15, verse 16, we read, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem. Verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than the 7 sons, hath borne him. Verse 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto him. So, when the elders were giving a blessing to the newly wed couple, what was that blessing? That may the Lord bless the wife, or in other words, Ruth, to build this house. Why? Because Rachel and Leah are the two women who came into the life of Jacob, build the nation of Israel. So when a young girl by marriage began to assume it is a God-given responsibility to me to build my house, my husband, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my children. And that moment, when she understand this is a call of God in my life. You know, when God calls people to do something, He also knows there are many needs there, and He will make the arrangement to come to do what are the needs there. For example, if I tell my son, you go to Meyer store and buy grocery, you know, there are two responses can be there. If my son doesn't want to go to watch the basketball game in the TV, he will begin to think what are the difficulty to do that. He will say, what about the money? And I think, you know, the grocery may not be there. Maybe they ran out of the things. He will say so many excuses. You know, I'm thinking in terms of my own country. It's a little difficult to explain exactly the way it is. But you know, at the very same time, a child who is willing to do his chore in the home and available to do the work, the instant he hears that, he immediately stand up and go to the kitchen. And he tell mother, Daddy told me to buy grocery from the store. So immediately mother will do, she hand over a bag and also hand over the money. And then he walk to the store and he tell the store person, you know, all the names of the things, and that man will take and pack and give it. So he never worried about where is the bag, where is the money, what is the availability. All those worries are the result of laziness. But if he become available for the instruction he was given by his dad, he will be able to accomplish that. Same way, when our daughters are able to understand, God has called me by my marriage to build this house, as a daughter-in-law, not as a daughter. And also their mother-in-law, what did she do? She took the child. So the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law together raised a child. And as a result of that, Obed and Jesse, and finally we see the glory of that family in King David. See, you know, David has a mind totally different. That mind is the result of his full understanding who God is. He knew God is great and powerful. Because of that knowledge, he was able to run after the lion and run after the bear and save the sheep and kill those animals. Now he is in the battlefield and visited there because his father wants him to take some food to the captain of the army. where his older three brothers are serving in the army. As he entered the army camped area, he realized something is not right here. Fight is not going on, and everybody is kind of a depressed mood. Everybody is concerned about themselves, you know. Here is an enemy who is insulting us. We are great people, but he is insulting. And they looked at him and saw him as a tall person with extraordinary powerful weapon in his hand. And was a well-trained soldier from his youth. So King Saul was totally unable to fight. Abner, the army chief, was not able to fight. There were no soldiers were available to say that, I volunteer to fight against this man. No one, because they are all scared. But interesting, let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and see what David understand and how David evaluate the scene and what is his perception of the situation. And verse 25 of chapter 17, the army says that surely to defy Israel is he come up. But what did David say in verse 26? David says in verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? See, look, he is not seeing an undefeatable, extraordinary soldier. He is also seeing the same person. The whole army saw a soldier from the side of Philistines out there, and David saw the same man. But the moment he saw that man, his mind filled with an understanding. He is not an undefeatable soldier. Who is he? He is an uncircumcised Philistine. So that is an understanding. And the next thing, that he should defy the armies of the living God. The Israel says he is defying us. David says, no. He is defying who? Defying the armies of the living God. So, in reality, both are same, isn't it? Whether you say you are armies of the living God, you say, or me, is all talking about the person who is not standing on this side. But at the very same time, he evaluate or he understand his realization of the situation is in a way he is able to defeat the enemy. In verse 47 he says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword or the spear. So he knew God is a great fortress, and in him there is deliverance, and therefore the modern war tactics and the powerful war guns or whatever the tools needed to defeat the enemy has no power, because God is more powerful. And David knew that. From his life, he understood that. Now he has a chance to prove again. And he was invited and he was given the armor. King Saul himself said, you know, watch out, boy. This man was a trained soldier from his youth. So very difficult to attack him. And David said, I cannot wear this armor. I don't know. I'm not trained to do any of those things. But I know something interesting. And that is in verse 36 he says, the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. So he is visualizing the uncircumcised. See, now also he is saying, the army of the Israel said he is a powerful soldier. And Saul, who is the king, said, indeed he is a well-trained and powerful soldier. But after hearing these things again and again, he is saying he is an uncircumcised Philistine. And not only that, he also said, I have been delivered from animals by the power of God. So, I will also defeat this person. And what? Okay, he didn't take the armor from the sword. Did he put a new armor? In verse 40 we read the war equipments. No, AK-47 is in the hand of the enemy. What do you have in your hand? A staff. So you can block the bullet with the staff, right? And then, a smooth stones, not one, five of them. A sling. It's interesting, isn't it? Here is a soldier is standing with all ready to fight. Grenades and AK-47 and on back on him, he can even shoot down a plane. Missile and all those things are carrying. And here is another shepherd boy who do not know even what is war, has a staff in his hand, a sling in his hand, but also not any stone, five smooth stones from the creek. That's an important thing you need to observe. You know, he has, you know, wherever he stood, the time he knew the uncircumcised Philistine, he would have picked up stones from there. But he did not do that. He took the stones from the creek. Now the stones in the creek are generally turned over many times. They are shaped enough and strong enough like a bullet. So he picked those kind of stones. And he put that in his shepherd's bag. And he knew how to use those stones from the creek, powerful than AK-47. And that is why he said, the Lord saveth not with the sword, not with the spear. Now I said these things in order to help us to understand this young man has a perception or has an understanding totally different from his classmates, his schoolmates, his neighbors, his underschool students. Where did he get that? He received that from his grandmother. So it came down from generations. So there is a great ministry. Generations has to be live together, work together, so we can raise a new generation in the fear of the God. And Paul said in chapter, the book of Timothy, Paul talks about disciple Timothy, how he became a great servant. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfailing faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So, the faith Timothy enjoyed has come down from his mother as well as from his grandmother. And when we read about Abraham in the book of Hebrews, there is an interesting observation is there. Abraham lived with Isaac and Jacob in tens, not in tend, but in tens. Last 7 years, when I stayed with my father, we stayed in the same building, but in the morning my wife come down, until night she is downstairs helping, but the time come for us to take a rest, we go to upstairs as an apartment. But at the very same time, we are available in seconds if there is any need. So it's one building, two dwelling. So he lived in tents. So what did he do? Definitely, when we read about Jacob and Isaac, we understand they are able to follow Abraham. You know, Abraham was promised with the great promises, but at the very same time, throughout his life, he was living in tent, not in big houses. At the very same time, he always built an altar in front of that tent. So relationship to God is continuously with him. As a result of that, when the servant of Abraham bringing Rebekah, Isaac was meditating. So relationship, God, Abraham had a relationship to God because God has called him and appeared to him. And Isaac had a relationship to God because he knew God of my father is a real God. And Jacob also said, God of my father. So they received the revelation from father to son and to the grandson. So we have a responsibility to raise a generation for the glory of God. And God will decide how to manifest that generation for his glory. In the case of David, God has given him not only a leadership role in the nation of Israel as the king of Israel, but also blessed him to have that dynasty to continue throughout the history. And a day is going to come, a throne of the David upon which our Lord is going to sit. You know, at that day, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, Jesse and Obed, all will see the victory they are enjoying because of their obedience to the Lord and their willingness to work what the Lord expected them to do. You know, a Moabitess woman to manifest love and serve under a Jewish woman is very difficult. A Jewish woman under a Jewish woman is difficult. Then what about a Moabitess woman? But then how it was possible? I'll tell you why it was possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 4 onward, we understand what is a true love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity walleth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So this is the true love. And when Ruth developed and manifested this love toward Naomi, and Naomi also restored back in fellowship and expressed this love. You know what is the neighboring women were saying? Your daughter-in-law who loves you better than seven sons of your own. A daughter-in-law manifested not only in the community but also in the home. You know, when you go and tell a mother-in-law about how loving is, how caring is, how helpful is your daughter-in-law. If you somebody trying to flatter, it won't work. If you simply, even if you try to tell the truth, still mother-in-law don't accept. But this mother-in-law, without any hesitancy, simply embraced the truth and lift the baby and put in her bosom and raised the child. So grandparents has a ministry to raise your grandchildren. Not only your children, you raise your children now. That's over. But now your time for grazing. So, and as a result of that, you will have children who will take courage in the Lord. This David also has come to a time in his life where he lost total help. He was without any help. But you know, every man who are his helpers turned against him and ready to attack him. And at that time, David strengthened himself in the Lord. There was no strength from his friends, no strength from any source, but still he is strong. Why? Because he strengthened in the Lord. It is possible for us to see that in our life, provided we are willing to work with our children and especially with our daughters. Thank you very much. God bless you. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to read your word and see your plan for our life. As a family, you have called us to build the home, to raise a generation that will honor you. Therefore, Lord, give us the commitment to obey you and listen to you. Help us not to find excuses and being lazy and sloppy, rather hardworking and enduring, so that we will see your blessing upon the life of our children and grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a time to be here with your people and with your word. Bless them as they go back to their home to do their work. And bless the younger ones to remember the right time. This is how God intends they should be, so that they will be able to help their parents. And when they become parents, they will be able to help their children. And then they become grandfather, grandparents, they can help their grandchildren. Thank you and praise you. Pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.